Just so you know, you can access the employee portal from the Northern College website, and you can do that from any computer anywhere. So as long as you bring up the computer, the employee, the Northern College website, you click on employee portal at the top left, and then that will bring you all your menus. So here you will have Employee Connect, your employee login, NorAction, Blackboard. And I think this Blackboard is where you would go if you had to do some mandatory training. It's the Blackboard Learn. So that's where the WMIS would be, all different kind of certificates. And I'll show you where it'll show whether you have anything outstanding on that in Employee Connect. For inactive employees, let's say you're no longer here, but you want to access your T4, you can access that here for inactive employees, Employee Connect. So all I need for that is your alternate email set up in the system, that it's correct. And then that way you can actually go in, print some pay stubs, or print your T4 or download it once it's available. So right now we're going to go into Employee Connect. And this is the sign-in screen that you'll get for Northern College for active employees. So your network account, it's usually always your last name and your first initial. Your first initial might change depending if there's more than one B Bunny. You might have BU. But it's always your last name and first initial, and then your password. That is usually given to you when your program assistant first sets up your assignment. Your assignment, your password will be given to you. And then the first time you go in, it'll prompt you to save or select another email, password, sorry. So here in Employee Connect, all these red items are immediate attention items. These are mandatory training that the college wants everybody as an employee of the college, they want you to complete all these training items. So if you're a full-time employee, this can be done during work hours. As a part-time employee, you can do these, and we allocate 5.5 hours, and an assignment will be created for you once they're all completed, and your program assistant will create that assignment, and it'll be paid as a lump sum one-time payment. So these are, most of these are just certificates where you just have to read something and sign it. Some of them, it's an actual course like the WMIS. It's maybe a 20-minute thing where you got to go through and complete and pass the test at the end. The next best thing about this screen is it tells you there's a new bulletin board item, which is messages that are sent to you that are important to give you a heads up. Like one that I just put in there yesterday is the 2023 T4s will be available by the end of February in Employee Connect. And once they're ready, another note will be posted here telling you that it's available. Another important deadline, especially for part-timers, is the deadlines to put in your hours. So the deadline was January 29th to enter the hours for that pay period. Another thing I want to mention is if you haven't entered your hours for that pay period and you missed the deadline, not a problem. You just go in and put it in now. It'll just be paid on the next payroll. It just won't be included on this pay because you didn't make the deadline. And then there's always, I put little tips and tricks every month about hints to where to go for certain items. So in this case, it's under the resources tab, under links and forms, there's schedules, the pay schedules, there are forms in there and manuals, even a copy of a video on how to do all this stuff is in there. So on the gray bar at the top under resources, if you click links and forms, it will bring up all the different forms and videos. In here, under Employee Connect documents and video tutorials, there's the user manual. There's a tutorial for full-time and non-full-time. And then there's this cancel leave or pay. So that's a cancel leave or pay is what you would do is, let's say you booked a vacation for March 1st. You would have a vacation that day and then, oh, it got canceled. Because if your supervisor has already approved that date, unfortunately, we can't just go in and unapprove it. There's a form that you have to complete and request that that day be changed or canceled. So that's where that form is. Here is the non-full-time employee pay deadline. So I'll just click on that, give you an idea of what it looks like. So this is the 2024 payroll deadlines for the whole year. Everything is there. The last column is the pay date. So it's pretty much every 2 weeks, there's a payroll and it tells you which period you're getting paid for. So on February 9th, which is the next pay, I'm processing the hours worked during January 14th to the 27th. And that was due to be submitted in Employee Connect on the 29th. So that's what I'm processing right now. If anybody has any questions, just blurt in. It's not like there's a lot of us on here. So if you have any questions or something's not clear, I sometimes tend to go pretty quick. Other payroll documents, something new recently is the payroll tab update. What that is due to all the fraudulent banking change requests, I no longer make any changes because I was getting scam emails all the time on a weekly basis to change somebody's bank account. And so now it's considered a TD1. It's a self-serve item under the payroll tab. So when I go back, when we look at the payroll tab, I'll show you where that is. So all you do is you go to where your banking info is listed and you click edit. Then payroll tab TD1 is a self-serve item as well. I'll click on that briefly when we go there, but these are manuals that you can read up and it'll tell you exactly what you need to do. You can go in at any point in time during the year and change your TD1 settings because things may change.
Hi, Kareem. We have a person with their hand up. Shrey?
Okay.
I just have a quick question for you. I want to know, for our payroll tab, do we also have the option to have multiple bank accounts and decide how much we want to be deposited in each account?
Shrey, you're really muted. Are you able to just... try that again?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know if something's on my mind.
It's not very clear.
Sorry, can you hear me now? Am I audible?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's very staticky.
Yeah,
I think I heard if you want me to interpret.
Okay.
Shrey, I don't know why, but I could hear you fine. So what Shrey was asking is it possible to have our pay split between multiple bank accounts if we want a portion of our pay paid into each of several different accounts. Is that correct, Shrey?
Yes, Michael.
Yes.
Shrey says yes.
In order to do that, you have to request that to be done, and it can only be done for full-time employment. And you can either select a set amount for every pay or a percentage of your pay.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay. And so after the TD1, there's the guide to assessing your T4. I'll show that where you find that as well. But just to know that all these guides are here, and same with explaining your pay stub. If you're having questions about your pay stub and what was deducted, everything is kind of explained on there. So it's just good to know that any of the resources that for payroll or benefits, we have it posted here for you. Okay, and then if we move over to the next one, is in the profile. Under the demographics, that's pretty much the only one that you should be concerned about, because we always want to make sure we have your up-to-date address. your phone number and your alternate email. Because once you leave Northern College, if we need to get a hold of you, we just would like to have the most current email on file, and same with the address if we need to mail you something. So this you can do yourself, and you just save when you want to change, update your address, make sure that that is done on a regular basis. Then over here, then we'll scroll over to the payroll. This is the one that most of you will be using on a day-to-day basis, or maybe not day-to-day, but weekly at least. So you'll click on payroll, additions to pay. And then what comes up are your approved assignments. So under the orange line, it'll say that I'm teaching a casual partial load assignment for 6 hours. For a total of 3 for one course and 3 for another from January 10th to April 26th. And then I also have this out of class assistance for 2 hours per week for the same period. And then I was also given an assignment for orientation on January 4th. So this is where you will select, this will be the only items that you can request payment for. Payments for casual employees, nothing is paid automatic. Even if you have an honorarium, you need to select the actual payment. So you have to actually click on it and request the time for payment. So I'm gonna add an addition to pay for my teach. So you click it here. And then under the assignment, you need to click which one you want to be entered. So I'm gonna click on the teach assignment. And so I'm going to put in here on January, my assignment started the 10th, so I'll pick the 11th. If you picked a date outside of that period, it'll give you an error message. So then you enter your time. So I teach 5 till 8 p.m. And then you need to enter your number of hours. So that's 3. So I'm going to want to enter my next 3 hours for the same week. So you can click at the bottom here, add a line, copy previous. And what that does is it automatically copies what you've done before into entry number 2, and it goes to the next day. But let's say the next day is not when I taught, then you just change your date to the 15th and it's still 5 to 7. However, you still have to enter those 3 hours in here. These 3 hours, what it does is it calculates the number of hours that you've put in your time. So let's say you taught from 5 till 9, but you took a 1 hour break. So you'd still have not 5 till 9, this would show 4 hours, but I'm only gonna request 3. Okay. Another thing here, let's say I'll try that somewhere else. That's okay. So now you're done. You click save. You'll get a green message saying save successfully. And then if you want to submit that, if that's fine, you want to submit it, you need to check off this box here. Payment request is complete. But what I want to do is go back and show you what this looks like. So if you look under your additions to pay, you'll see what I just entered here. So it's a status of pending employee, which means that I can go in and change if I made a mistake. And you can say, oh, I didn't really meant to put Monday, it should have been Tuesday. So you can actually click the view button and go in there and change it. So let's say, it shouldn't have been the Monday. Let's say it's Tuesday for the same thing. Everything's good. Now it's ready for payment. So I click that off. It automatically saves and it's submitted for payment. So you'll go back again. And now you'll notice here the status is called pending recommendation. So that means that it's going to go to the supervisor for approval. And that way, once it's approved, it gets processed for payment. So now let's say I want to enter the OCA. So you click the add button associated with that. Unfortunately, here you still have to click the OCA button here. especially if you have more than one assignment. If you only, I think even if you have just the one, you still have to select it. You'll notice here that the date defaults to today's date. So I find a lot of people forget to change that date. So you have to make sure that you always select the day that you had your OCA. So let's say on every Friday morning, I have 2 hours to help my students, and then from 9 till 11. And then again, you're going to put the time and the number of hours, and there's just the one. So you're going to click save. At the top here, you'll notice here total, it tells you how many hours you've entered. I've entered 2 hours here for the amount of 4808. And that's what I wanted to enter. Everything's good. I'm not going to have another one. So I could just check off saying I'm good for that. Save successfully. Then we go back. And there's the second entry. The only other thing that could happen is, let's say your dean decides there, let's have a meeting. I need to talk to everybody about something. And we're going to, not all meetings are paid, but if it's a paid meeting, then you would just click on your assignment, your regular teach assignment, but you leave this whole top part blank. You do not check anything in there. You go straight to line number one and you click the pay type drop down and put in training time, meeting time. So if we had a meeting on January 17th, and it was from, was from 3 till 4, it was 1 hour only. Notice how the meeting rate and training rates are not at your teach rate. Your teach is only for when you're delivering a class that you're paid that rate. So here, there's my meeting. And I'm done with that. So I'm going to click save. Save successfully. So I want to submit this for payment. You just check off the box, ready for payment. Save successfully, and then go back. So now you'll see there was the 6 hours of teaching, 2 hours of OCA, and then I had this one meeting that I was asked to attend and was told it was a paid session. And so all of this will go to approval. Once it's approved, your pending recommendation will change to approved. And then when I bring it in for payroll, it'll show the pay period here at right over here, pay period at the end. It'll show January 27th, let's say, if that's our next pay period. And then show that's the pay period that it will be paid. Okay. Once I've processed all those and it shows it's approved, it's been completed, there's a pay period ending date, and you got an email notification from me saying your notification has been processed, you're going to see a deposit on February 9th. So if you want to have a look at that deposit under payroll, you just click on deposits and checks. And if you scroll down under this orange line, there's every paycheck that we've ever issued to there will be listed. And you can actually click on the view. Usually I do it 2 days ahead of the deposit date. So it'll say not yet deposited. And if you have any questions, you can contact payroll right here. There's at the top here, there's a link that you click that and it'll just create an email to payroll. Or if you want to contact HR, you can do the same. Here is where your current banking information. This is where you were asking about if I wanted to change my bank. Like, let's say, I put my savings account instead of my checking account. I want to change that. That is now a self-serve. All you need to do is click the edit button and it asks you, okay, what's the financial institution? You just click the drop down, select your bank. the routing number, it's 8 digits. Usually it's the financial institution is the 3 first digits. Then the next 5 is a transit. And then this is the account number. Then you just confirm that this is accurate and complete. And that if you somehow made a typo or you made a mistake, it could cause a delay in your direct deposit. So we just ask that you do that. We're trying to make everybody accountable for their own changes and updates. So that's done. There's all your payrolls, your T4s and your hire letters are shown in the folder, the one right next to payroll. So there's all the hot offer letters that will show in here, and your T4 will actually be listed there as well. Then all you'd have to do is click view, and it brings up a PDF form. You can either print it, save it, email it. You can do whatever you want with it. So this is the hire letter for Bugs Bunny. Another thing to show you under the payroll tab, deposits and checks, there's also employment verification letter. So if ever you needed a letter saying you work at employee at Northern College from this time to this time, this is what I'm earning for either a mortgage or loan or something like that, you just click on view for your most recent pay stub that you've got. As long as you have an active assignment, it will work. And you click view and a letter automatically comes up summarizing your assignment, like your full-time position. If you have a part-time position as well, you'll see 2 letters. Okay. So that's interesting. Under the finance tab, I think the only thing you would ever do there is if, let's say, you're claiming mileage or if you had to go, you had some expenses you had to pay on your behalf. If you click finance AP checks, it would list the actual payments issued to you. And again, you can view it and it'll show your request and it'll show your deposit that was made. And then the only other thing we're going to go to now is absences. We're trying to make everybody, the college needs to know whether you're at work or not at work for liability, for WCB, and just in case you need coverage or just for you to to know whether you're on campus or working or not. So under the absence tab, there's an absence bank summary. For full-time employees, they have, or even partial load employees will have sick bank, a vacation. You're entitled to take vacation. Some of it is paid, some of it may not be paid. Even if it's just unpaid time off, we need to know. So it shows your bank here. So in Bugs Bunny's case here, he has 20 hours of accumulated overtime. For full-time employees, they're allowed to bank their overtime or get paid for it. So depending how you want to do that, you can bank it here or you could have it paid in your additions to pay. Same with your vacation. So there's the current year vacation and next year's vacation. The next year's vacation, that is accrued on every pay. So let's say you have 12 vacation days. So every month you would accrue 1 day, but it accrues every pay. Same with the credits here. If you have 70 hours annual credit, which is 10 days, and you've taken 5 days, so now the bank is only 5 days left. Okay, these numbers may not make sense because Bugs Bunny, we don't really track these. But if you have any questions about that, we definitely can answer your questions. So the way to request a leave is you click absence and then absences and leaves. So here, what you'd have to do is add requests for a leave. So in this dropdown, it'll show you all the different leaves that you might be off for. You may be off for bereavement, for with jury duty, personal leave, unpaid, sick day, unpaid time off, or vacation, unpaid for non-full-time support. So if you're non-full-time support, there's usually no paid vacation. Vacation is paid on your check, every single pay. So any time off that you take from your teaching is unpaid. So what you do is you just say, okay, I'm taking some unpaid vacation because I had a trip booked and everybody said it was okay before I took this teach assignment. So you click here and the first day you say, oh, I'm going to take 2 days in March break. And those are my 2 days that I'm usually teaching. And so that's a total of 6 hours. Just say vacation. And absent, here you need to write if you're absent all day or the morning or the afternoon. So in this case, we're all day. And this is more, well, that won't work. I took January, so that March 15th. So check if this leave is for more than 1 day, which it is, because I'm taking my 2 regular teach, and see how it just divides those 6 hours into those 3 days, which is not the case. So I want to take 3 days on the 3 hours on the 13th. And then I want to take 3 hours on the 15th. And then nothing, and then I'll just delete this entry here. So you just can break down when you take that time off. So if you click save, let's hope it works. Is it going to give me? Oh, error, job, it says job required. So you just have to click here. Well, it could be that I'm not set up for for a big unpaid vacation. Yeah, it's not going to let me do it. Anyway, that's how you do it. You just click in here, record your time off. If ever you want to know, oh, did I request that time off or what did I do? You click on absence calendar. And here comes a calendar. So if I had booked a sick day or a vacation day, it would show here that I requested it. For supervisors, when they're looking at this, before they approve your vacation, they can call up this calendar and they can see all their staff and who's requested time off and when, so that there's coverage in their department. So it's a good feature to know, oh, did I do that or not? What did I do? And then absences and leaves, it'll just list all your requests. So I'm going to try sick day. Sick day non, see if that works, just to give you an idea what it looks like. There we go, part time. Let's say January 25th, I've got an appointment. First day of lift, I got a doctor's appointment or I got something going on that day. Sick day. All day, and it's going to be 3 hours. You just ignore this 3.6. And it's not more than 1 day, it's only one. So we're going to try to save. Leave request add successful, yay. So we'll exit this. So it was saved. So here you'll see on January 25th, I requested a sick day for 3 hours and it hasn't been approved yet. Once my supervisor goes in and approves this, it'll show approved. And that way everybody knows you're not working that day. And if something has to be done, it gets done. Okay, so that's about it. The only other one is workshops. I don't know if anybody's ever enrolled in a workshop. Sometimes they're listed here. We have one here dealing with difficult clients that's scheduled tomorrow. You can register. Some of the workshops are done right through Employee Connect. Some of them are not, but it's good to know that it's there, that you can actually have a look and see if it's interests you or not. Okay. Any other questions before we end? Everybody good? Oh, we have 12 people here now. Yay. Okay, so that's it. No questions. So I guess we'll see you next time. I usually offer these in the fall and at the beginning of the fall semester and the winter semester. But feel free to contact me if you have any questions. I'm at extension 2157. A lot of times you just need to call me and I can walk you through doing something for the first time, because it's that first time when things are a little difficult because you're not sure if you're doing it right. Okay. Thank you very much.